Hello and welcome to Sporovcast, the English language Sporovcast but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm Roman Primula's Twitter account.
Are you?
Yes, I don't know why I went sh, because it's Primula.
Yeah.
But that's the magic of podcasting, isn't it?
I'm not going to edit that out, but...
No, I know you're not. I'm just...
Why are you his Twitter account?
I don't know. Well, I do know, because he... Do you know that he sent a tweet just saying, follow my Twitter account? And then he was supposed to make all those announcements about the new restrictions in the Czech Republic on TV. Mm-hmm. And instead of that, didn't bother doing it and then just release them on his own Twitter instead.
Talking of COVID-related failures... We were talking last night about the government test for what your job should be if it's not in the arts.
Yes.
Do you remember? Uh-huh. So what are you going to be doing when we fail to make money off podcasting?
I'm going to be grooming horses. So my transfer to Pardubitsa is, you know, hanging in the balance, I suppose. Grooming horses.
I am going to be making between £12,000 and £16,000 a year as a cake decorator. Not even baking, just decorating.
That's lovely.
Isn't it? Seeing as, you know, somebody who doesn't eat cake basically at all. I just write twats in massive letters over the top of all of them.
Sorry, you tried. one for the end of the season. If, of course, we get to the end of the season, because you will notice that this broadcast will have a grand total of zero previews for matches. Yeah.
But don't worry, we have got a lot to fill that particular void. We haven't thought further than this week, mind you, so next episode might be a struggle, depending on how it goes. We are going to look back at games against Karviná and Jihlava in the Cup.
Great.
Yeah. We've got Beer of the Podcast, as usual. Great. We've got a visit from your friend and mine, Jakub Alexeyevich Chernin.
Great.
And we've also got quizzes.
Great.
Because we needed content. So we've got three quiz sections for you to play along with. Starting with the one that's coming up after this little bit of music. Right, so, this is a quiz that I prepared for Sam. It's very simple, it's five questions, and I've got a list of football teams here.
Right.
All you have to do is tell me, are they a real team or are they not a real team?
Oh, okay. I feel I should be okay at this.
It's as simple as that. Right. Firstly, Lokomotiv El Paso.
I believe that is a team.
They are a team. Well done.
It's like,
yes.
It's a step below.
Yeah,
MLS.
They're in the US. I can't remember whatever it's called league. Okay. Number two, the Bungley Bears. I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it does.
The Bungley Bears.
Yes.
Does it make you laugh because you made it up, David?
No.
No. Okay, no. So then it's a real team.
No, it's not a real team. I did make it up. You haven't really got... Just because I say I can lie on this, you know that, right?
For the benefit of the viewer or the listener, David, I'm trying to make it a bit more exciting.
All right, fine.
Okay. I'll take that.
All right, number three, Grenades FC.
Grenades, well, it's Granada. I know that.
No, but like,
I will say that they are also a real team.
They are a real team. They're from Antigua.
Oh, great.
Their badge is just a grenade.
Good.
Number four, Deportivo Samuel Beckett.
Right, this is an interesting one because there are so many South American teams that are called like O'Higgins or things like that. Deportivo, is that mostly just a Spanish one rather than a Latam one? I will say, for just consistency, wrong, right, that you've made that one up.
I have made that one up.
Good.
But there are lots of Deportivos in South America. Yeah. There's like Deportivo General Hayes
Is
one.
There's also, I don't know if Samuel Beckett has much connection to, you know, El Frey Bentos or whatever.
No, I just thought it was a weird name to attach to Deportivo. Yeah. All right, and finally, number five, Tobacco Monopoly.
Tobacco Monopoly is almost certainly a real team.
They are. They're from Thailand.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Do you have one for me? We're going to do three sections of this, by the way.
Uh-huh. Right. So, we'll go with, because we mentioned, or you had Lokomotiv El Paso, we will go with, is this an MLS mascot?
Okay, good.
Okay. Number one, Gary the Lion.
Gary the Lion.
Gary the Lion.
I'm going to say yes. I think Gare
Gary the Lion is the mascot of FC Cincinnati.
Okay,
so
good.
He is, yes. Lil Red.
Lil Red.
L-I-L,
yes.
Apostrophe,
gotcha.
Red. Lil Red.
I'm also going to say yes.
Unlucky, that's the University of Nebraska Lincoln's athletics team.
Oh, all right. So you didn't make it up. It is a mascot, but not an ML.
Some of them may be made up, David.
Oh,
dear me. Some
of
them could be.
All right. All right.
All right.
Putting that caveat in there, that's all.
They get worse.
All right.
Three, Blue the Dog. Blue the Dog.
The thing is, it's so ridiculous that it might actually be. No.
Sporting Kansas City.
Oh, for
Blue the Dog.
Have they seen Arrested Development? I guess not. All right.
Did you like that one?
Not really, no.
Okay, number four, Marco Van Bison.
No, surely not.
Colorado Rapids.
Oh, come on.
Marco Van Bison. And your last one is just Cocky.
Cocky. You have to have made at least one up. I'm going to go with no.
You're right. That's the University of South Carolina's mascot.
Fine. Okay.
Marco Van Bison. He's just a big bison, man.
That is good, actually.
Genius.
I like that.
Oh, I'm very for that.
Yeah. All right. Let's get on to, well, I was going to say less hilarious matters, but it's relatively hilarious in a kind of depressing way. We're going to look at a league game we played or attempted to play against that Karvina. Right, Karvina then.
Yes.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Yeah, it was the first time we've seen a lineup that could be described as possibly our strongest apart from the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. For going forward, the lineup was Schuster in goal. Stefanovski, Shurar, Hlavica, Moravets, then Mr. Writer, Vaniek, Sedlak, Hladík, Amfrikistal, and Rusek.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty decent. I mean,
yeah.
It's some of the best we have, so.
Yeah.
So, quick summation. First half, Hladík and Rusek both missed sort of okay chances. There's a point where Stefanovski tears Christian Hurts a new one to get to the byline, squares it, but there was no final ball all day.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't realise that Karvina had a very, very large back line.
Yeah.
Which was one thing. I mean, Frikistal and Rusek, good as they are slight.
Yes.
I would say. And we were going up against a goalkeeper in Vladimir Neumann, who was very good all day, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And is 6'4". Eduardo Santos at centre-half, 6'4". And Martin Schindelar at centre-half at 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
So our normal technique of get it wide and cross it in, even though the balls were as bad as usual, they had even less of a chance of getting anywhere because gigantic humans in the way. Yeah.
Was the keeper that good? It's a thing because I mean I can't. I'm right at this moment. I'm sort of struggling to remember any sort of real big chances on goal. Like a lot of the ones that you took, like Rusek chance for sure. Hladík fires wide, if I remember, from a really good position. Is a lovely ball. Trichistal, I think, is just fails to get on the end of that Stepanovski cross. And actually, probably the best save of at least for the first half was Martin Schuster after the third minute. There's this point blank save from a header. And then there's Moravets to block a follow-up shot after. There are probably no surprises that Schuster was in because of his, I use this term loosely, heroics against Pilsen. I don't like this whole chop and change every week goalkeeper thing, though. I think we've talked about this before, particularly as whenever we have football back, I will pretty much guarantee that it's not going to be Schuster in goal. Mm. So it's...
Well, the reason I thought Neumann had a good game is because you didn't really notice him, which mm-hmm. is the thing you can say about all decent goalkeepers. Now, my point is...
Because it's all in the midfield.
My thing is, though, whenever it came up that end... It was always either smothered or caught or blocked point blank. There was no drama to it. Whereas mm-hmm. Schuster, my main problem with him is he gives me major Jordan Pickford vibes.
Yeah.
And Jordan Pickford is the John Terry of English goalkeepers. It's a lot of action Racist. And a lot of... I'm not saying anything, but in his goalkeeping style, Jordan Pickford, as Martin Schuster is, I think, is all about... hurling himself across places and doing the spectacular. But if his positioning and his command of his defence and his anticipation had been good enough, he wouldn't be in that position in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good link to the second half, David, unless you
have Oh, yes, absolutely it is, because we're going to see exactly that. There is a bit of a chance at the beginning. Mr. Writer... cuts inside, sends particular style through, Neumann there again to sort of, smother it down. And then there is a ball back from Stefanovski. Stefanovski initially plays it against the winger he's up against. I think it's Hertz again. But it comes back to him and he sends the ball back 25, 30 yards mm-hmm. to Schuster. Schuster takes, and I counted this, 5 touches.
I have here in capital letters, just take a touch and get rid of it.
Yeah. Instead of that, he takes 5 touches, panics, doesn't know what to do with it, doesn't want to just send it, I don't know why, and Mikhail Papadopoulos steps in.
I don't think Schuster panics, which is the most annoying thing about it. If he panics, it's sort of, I still think it's a stupid thing to happen, but I sort of have this sort of understanding, right, pressure's on and stuff like that, but he has the time to take these touches, and I'm sure what he does is he sees Papadopoulos coming onto him, and he just thinks, you know what I can do? I can do like a sweeper thing, and I can just, sort of take a touch over to the side and clear it out and make him look like a bit of a fool, and I get like an ole from the crowd sort of thing.
It felt irritatingly, you're right. Like I think when you watch it back, you can see him going, I'm sort of lining this up to, nutmeg him or something. Yeah. That doesn't work.
Yeah, because I watched it back, and I'm not joking. I watched it back maybe 20 times this afternoon because I was wanting to... Aside from the fact that it's a stupid thing anyway, I was wanting to see if it was actually a penalty. Because I think that there questions there. And the referee does actually VAR it.
Yeah, for the first time in our history, we get a VAR.
Because I don't know, actually, if... My initial thought was Papadopoulos is potentially fouling the keeper when I saw it the first couple of times.
I think he's fine.
And then...
He steps in front of it. He puts his body between Schuster and mm-hmm. the ball.
And
it's
then
fine.
I'm looking at Schuster's leg, and then he just sweeps
Papadopoulos out from underneath him. It's a ridiculous foul and a completely avoidable one, and it's just stupid.
It's stupid if you're 3-0 up.
It's suicidal if you're 0-0.
And a team that's not winning games.
Yeah.
Penalty, though.
Yeah. Penalty, and Christy, how do we say the surname? Quotse? It's Q-O-C... Q-O-S-E.
It's Kusa, I think. It's Kusa. He's the Albanian international.
He is Albanian, yeah. And he panenkas it straight down the middle. It's one of the cheeky, it's a lovely cheeky penalty.
On that note, we wish Antonin Panenka all the best as well as he is in hospital recovering from COVID.
Yeah.
Which is some sad news. Yeah. That penalty is, even if it's scored against you, you're just sort of like, oh boy.
Yeah. Mm. So what else happens at the other end? Mr. Writer
should have scored.
He nutmegs Eduardo Santos and looks so surprised that he hits it straight at Neumann while trying to get it out from under his feet.
I know it's only been a couple of games. I'm very for Reiter.
I really like him, yeah.
I think that he is potentially performing the best at the moment for Zbrojovka. And that's to say that he could do a lot better.
Mm.
But there's just so much dead weight at the moment.
Yeah.
As maybe the following scenes will address.
Yeah, there was a foul on the edge of the area on Koudelka. Was it a foul? I'm not sure. But either way,
I remember screaming for it at the time.
Yeah, but either way, again, everyone stands still and the ball just gets hoofed down to Tomasz Ostrak.
Who is free.
He holds off Honza Hlavica. Schuster again finds himself in no man's land.
I'm starting to feel that I could hold off Hlavica.
Yes. I mean, he's slow. He's not very strong. He's not very good in the air.
He's
a second division footballer.
I mean, his positioning's just atrocious as well. I mean, this is potentially a move that is involved with potentially two of our worst players right now, that and Koudelka. I have a great deal of sympathy for Koudelka in the sense that it's not his fault that he's gone up to something way above his level. You coming from a poor Prostějov side, side who look bad this season because they don't have him, by the way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when you're that age, basically, because you're not, 18, 19, 20 anymore, and you get the chance to basically go up a division and play in the top flight for the first time in your career, yeah, you'd be mad not to take it. But he just looks so out of his depth, it's unreal.
He's also far too old for that stupid haircut.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ostrak makes it 2-0. And
you felt that was it. There was 20 minutes to go and it was like there was no chance we were getting back into
it. And
it
definitely weren't getting back into it when on 81 minutes, Rusek gets a second yellow card for a challenge. If you want to get a video of challenge born out of absolute frustration, Tonda Rusek absolutely scything somebody down for a second yellow card, mm-hmm, 40 yards from anywhere is absolutely it.
I mean, the worst thing about all this sort of stuff as well is that all these sorts of events and things like that, and is that sort of a frustration, sort of like coward's way out, sort of like, I don't want to have a part in the next game? I don't know. But all this stuff will just be buzzing around in his head when potentially Banik Ostrava start calling again, or some other teams mm-hmm start calling again. And why would you settle for all this stuff now, especially when you're in the Czech national team framework?
Yeah.
And why would you stay?
Mm.
I don't know why. I mean, because I'm struggling to make an argument for why you'd come from a supporter's perspective at this point, because the tickets are a bit more expensive. The quality on show is not particularly good. So then it's got to be an even easier thing to be like, why would you stay when you've got such an easy way out?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But yeah, well, it remains to be seen, doesn't it? Long way to go, etc. I mean, yeah, it was just a pretty bloody depressing day all around, wasn't it?
There's a long way to go when you're losing but consistently getting unlucky.
You're going to say this is not the case here, aren't you?
It does. Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't seem like a long way to go when there's nothing to really sort of play for. And, I mean, there's nothing on show that suggests that this is going to change in the next five games. Perhaps COVID-19 has been a bit of a blessing in the sense that we get to push some games off to the future and try and find some sort of regrouping. Or the whole season gets cancelled again and we're already up in the league anyway and we get to stay and have another crack. But it's not looking good right now, is it?
It's not, no. Well, there's a preemptive knot. If you want a bit more positivity and some knots, stick around until after this bit here. Ozbrojovcast knows what's hot or not. Ozbrojovcast knows what's hot or not. In the city of Brno, In the capital of South Moravia, we've got opinions. Any ideas?
Right, this is really going to be really pathetic, but I only know that song through an episode of South Park.
Right.
Which I believe the lyrics are California, super good for the homeless. And it's about getting homeless people out of South Park on buses away to California. I think the song is called California.
It's called California Love.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It starts like do 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 do. Okay, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
who does it or anything like that?
I think it's Tupac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's called.
I'm all about the East Coast rappers, I'm afraid.
Okay.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's that, which we will play on the end as an outro. I have a quick hot, which is similar to something we mentioned earlier.
Okay.
My hot is Antonín Panenka being discharged from hospital this afternoon.
Oh, did he actually get discharged from hospital?
Yeah,
I did not see that.
He is back at home recovering.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's a hot. My hot was going to be Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but
oh, yeah.
I like the Panenka thing as well.
That's fantastic. I mean, you can also say about Calvert-Lewin.
I think he's really found his niche this year, and also it's lovely to hear a soft but proper Yorkshire accent on a lad. He's a lovely chap to listen to, and he seems like a very, very nice chap. So,
fantastic.
Yes. So these are two good things.
That's fantastic.
Do you have a hot or a not?
My hot is Andy Considine, Aberdeen's
Considine,
who got his first cap for Scotland at age 33 on Sunday.
Good for him.
And yeah, had a very good game. I think BBC might have said that he was man of the match as well. Fantastic. Very pleased for him. Over 500 appearances for the Dons. A real one club man.
Yeah.
So thrilled for him.
Excellent.
And he's in the squad, I believe, for tonight against the Czech Republic.
Oh, good. I've got a not.
Go on.
Phil Jones is only 28. How?
We talked about this last night at the pub,
yeah.
I believe, didn't we?
That's my not. How is Phil Jones 9 years younger than I am? Uh-huh.
That's
disgusting.
That's fantastic.
It's not fantastic. It's bloody awful. That's my not.
Great.
Got that out of the way.
All right. My not is... I've channeled you somewhat, David.
Dear me. All right.
So my not is not just getting yourself banned, but getting your dad banned.
Right.
From the world of motorsports. Specifically from karting.
What's his name? It's Cellino Cellino...
Luca Corberi.
Corberi, yes.
So you've
do you want to explain, or
you've
shall
heard
I?
About this, right?
I've seen a lot of reaction to this, yes.
Yes, it doesn't really come in my circles because I have no interest at all in motorsports, but I found it all sort of tragic hilarious.
Mm?
So, you know, a guy gets, well, I don't know, bumped or clipped or something, he has to retire. And then he gets the bumper from his car and he waits at the side of the track until the guy who he thinks he hits or hit him is there to sort of sabotage him. And I think he gets the wrong guy.
He hits the guy behind. He throws it too late and he clouts the guy behind. Yeah.
But my absolute favourite part of it is the behind the scenes sort of video afterwards.
His dad weighing in.
He basically just charges at the guy and throws him into a wall. And I was like, that is good content.
Yeah.
Especially because not only is, you know, your dad there and you're going to get banned from any possible career, I guess, going forward in motorised sports, but your dad also owns the circuit.
Yeah, there's been massive fallout from this. He wasn't banned, or he didn't have his licence taken away, but he has voluntarily relinquished his licence. He said he's never going to drive in any form of motorsport again.
I believe the authority then suspended the licences anyway.
But he has come out and said that he's never... I think, in a way, that is a tactic because his family's business is owning that kart track.
Yeah.
And the threat... Because it's on the, like, European kart circuit thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the threat was, we're never going to come here again because your dad also got involved in this ridiculous ruck. So I don't know what's going on there, but everyone from the top down got involved. Jenson Button, Felipe Massa was particularly sort of angry about it because he was nearly killed a few years ago by the one of the rear suspension elements from Rubens Barrichello's car struck him in the head at the Hungarian Grand Prix, went straight through his helmet, cracked his skull. So he was very vituperative, I think that's a word, in being absolutely against all of this because, like, part of his job now is, like, safety in motorsport from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Massa, not a happy bunny, and was all for throwing the book at him. I don't know what this has to do with football, but there it is.
No, I just thought it was a good knot.
Yeah, it's a good knot.
From the world of sport.
Yes, okay, fair enough.
He's Italian, he probably likes football as well.
I'm sure he does. You want some more quiz action?
Let's do some more quiz action.
Okay. So we've got a couple more of these little five-question quizzes. Do you want to go first? Yeah, you.
I can go first.
You go first this time.
Okay, so I would like to know if this is a porn star or a footballer, David.
Good, all right.
So five here. Start you off easy. Rod Fanny.
Footballer. Used to play for Rennes.
Five caps for France. Yes. Okay, Michael Gash.
Michael Gash. I'm going to say footballer.
Former Cambridge United and striker for Kingsland Town.
Okay. Well, yeah. Nor fucking around then.
If you go, yeah.
Hey.
Uh-huh. Okay. Steve Holmes.
Too normal porn star.
Described as a bearded bear of a man with the kind of cock that would make the devil cross himself.
Lord.
So, yeah, Steve Holmes is a porn star. Xander Corvus.
Xander Corvus. I'm going to say footballer.
Described as part metalhead, part porn star who has the bad boy vibe to a T.
Okay.
And finally...
So Dutch footballer then.
I can't remember where he's from actually, but your last one is Martin Driller.
I think he was a Bundesliga player.
Very good. He's a striker for Borussia Dortmund and then St. Pauli in the 1990s.
Yes, I was aware of his work in a way. Yeah,
you did. You did better on the porn stars than on the mascots. So,
yeah, I mean, you know,
a cock that made the devil cross himself.
Indeed. Right, stadiums. Are these stadiums or are they not stadiums?
Oh, I'm going to get all of these wrong.
All right. Okay. Number one, the best amenity stadium.
That's. Okay, that these are all going to be sponsored sort of things.
They're not, no, no.
All right, the best amenity stadium probably is a stadium.
It is. It's the home ground of Sagan Tosu of the J League.
Of course it is.
Number two, Fields Field.
Fields Field.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's not.
It is not.
Okay, good.
Number three, the Right to Dream Park.
Right, this... Now... this reminds me very much of the Hope CBD Arena, which Hamilton Accies had for a while sponsorship. Right. So I'm going to say that that is a stadium.
It is. It's the home of Nordjylland.
Oh, really?
In Denmark, yes.
The Dream's Dream.
The Right to Dream.
The Right to Dream. Oh, I was going Fields, Dream's Dream. Uh-huh. The Right to Dream.
Number four, AOL presents The Saddlebag.
I really hope that's a stadium, but I'm going to say no.
It is not a stadium. So, yeah, you're right. And number five, the Lickin' Salami Stadium.
Same applied. The Lickin' Salami?
Yes.
Can I confirm this? L-I-C-K-I-N?
It is not. It is L-E-K-A-N.
Okay, right, that's a stadium then.
It is. It's it's the home of Shooting Stars FC of Nigeria.
Shooting Stars FC?
Yes.
Welcome to Shooting Stars.
Welcome, whoever you are. If you're licking salami, and no, let's not. That's back to the porn stars again, isn't it? Anyway, so that's that bit of the show. That was good. Oh, it's time for a visit from a friend. Who's that knocking at the door? I think you know who it is. The autumn days were long and peaceful in the town of Bryansk, where a certain Yakub Alexeyevich Chernin was returning home after a long day riveting fuselages at the aircraft works. He cast a long shadow before him as he turned off Ulitsa Obyezhnaya onto Periolok Pilotov. I found Bryansk. I looked at the street names. Walking along in his own world, he didn't notice a young man sitting alone on the curb and almost tripped over him before altering his stride. Curiously, the man was wearing a police uniform but looked both lost and confused. "Comrade," volunteered Yakub Alexeyevich, "it is no real business of mine, but it is a curious sight to see one of our upstanding lawmen not only alone but looking so very, very crestfallen." Is there a problem?
Don't talk to cops.
"Alas, yes," sighed the policeman. He explained that he was sad because his police dog had run away. "He and I have been not only partners, but best friends for years," explained the policeman.
Not that much of a friend.
"I was never an ambitious or forthcoming man, so my colleagues tended to mock and scorn me, but my dog, my dear Mishka, I never dreamed even he would one day give up on me." Our Mr. Chernin was not a cold-hearted man, and took pity on the young policeman, reassuring him, "Well, come now, it's not so bad. If your Mishka is half the animal you say he is, he will find his way back to the police station." "I'm sure he will," nodded the officer. "It's just that without him, I cannot." That was the first joke I ever learnt in Russia.
Really?
Yes. First one I was ever taught. And it was all downhill from there.
It was all downhill from there, yeah. Blew the dog.
Yeah.
Well.
There you go.
Fair play for looking up the street names.
By the way, Bryansk is a dump.
Yeah.
It does have an aircraft factory as well.
Yeah, so it's not like agricultural.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It's all big concrete Soviet monuments up to like aeroplanes.
So I can't get a Bryansk new combine harvester. Coming up next on Zborovcast.
What is coming up next on Zborovcast? Well, coming up next on Zborovcast is... Well, it was going to be Beer of the Podcast, but we've got beers. Do you want to do Yihlava first?
Let's get Yihlava over and done with.
Yes, let's. Okay. Right, we played Yihlava in the cup.
We did.
I didn't make any notes for this.
I made notes for this. Wink, wink, wink.
You didn't either, did you?
5 changes from the Zborovka side, which lost to Karvina. Against a reasonably full-strength Yihlava squad, who just come off the back of a reasonably bruising, one might say, league defeat to Prostyov, where they were a goal ahead before losing 2-1.
Mm.
And generally, you were sort of looking to come into this game and see a real reaction from the... from the squad, and that didn't really happen. I mean, it was a 5-3-2 sort of, but it was more like a 4-5-1-1 thing.
Yeah, occasionally a back three. There was a lot of weird shape changing. I think not necessarily because they knew what they were doing more. They were caught out of position a lot.
Yeah, well, you mean you had Barish and Stepanovsky in, but they were sort of more as wing backs.
Yes,
and then
exactly,
you had this sort of Gajic.
Zoran!
Chural and Hlavitsa.
That's right.
There as well. Moravets ended up becoming this fucking midfielder or whatever. Kordelka, Fosek was up front. And really didn't really do much. And were potentially unlucky to not go into the half behind.
Yeah. Initially, there was a lot of foot shootery going on. we were trying to play it out from the back and more often than not playing ourselves into trouble, particularly the relationship between Zoran and Barish, who couldn't play passes to each other 15 yards apart without doing them too short or too long.
I'm starting to wonder why he was without club.
Well, to be fair, I think like this is his first start. He looked rusty. Barish had no such excuse. Like, he looked very lost on the left-hand side there. We were given a lot of trouble by Luis Arroyo up front. Mm-hmm. He is Venezuelan, I'm going to say. Venezuelan?
Arroyo, I believe he's from one of them. Maybe Ecuador or
Ecuadorian, maybe.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I can look this up. He's Ecuador.
Ecuador.
Ecuadorian.
Ecuador! No. Anyway, yeah, Arroyo and your other boy, the number 10, whose name I forget, Smekal it was, yeah, who was, yeah, they were giving our defence all sorts of problems just by pressing high and running hard. Like you said, we actually should have been 1-0 down going into the half time. Arroyo, if he'd have connected in any way with a ball across from the right-hand side,
he just steps over it. It's just like absolutely air swipes at it. And that would have been, I think, 1-0.
Yeah, I think so.
And it just, generally speaking, I mean, we could sort of try and break it down half by half. But there wasn't, again, I mean, it was very much the same sort of story in the second. I mean, things were freshened up somewhat. Like, there were, I believe, a few changes made between the half. I mean, you had Winter, Hladík, and Vaněk.
Yeah,
all coming on, and
I'd like to see Winter arrive. I don't see why we haven't been seeing so much of him.
He's only allowed to get played as an impact sub.
That's the only
thing he's allowed to do. And it was looking for a good while like this was heading to extra time to penalties, and that wasn't good for anyone really. And then up comes the most unlikeliest of goal scorers, Shimon Shumbara, who is generally not that good. And it was a goal the game deserved, you felt?
You mean it was awful and scrappy
and it was based heavily on rebounds, yes.
Yeah. There again, the impact made by Mr. Reiter was pleasing as well. He came, he was very direct immediately, two lung-bursting runs into the box as soon as he came on. Yeah, again.
I mean, a win is a win as well. Yeah. I mean, by far the best part of that whole game was the guy shouting "Ah, kurva!" when when we scored. But like, wasn't by any stretch the sort of performance that I think that a first league team should be, you know, having.
No, it was an absolute struggle.
A bang average at best, second division side.
Yeah.
Will this ? Break the break the sort of the hex? We start going on to win matches. We start going on to score goals, which is also starting to become a bit of a concern.
Answer is no, probably.
Well, we don't know. Yeah. This is the question. And it just doesn't, nothing right now points to any sort of cohesive strategy or.
No.
We realize, listener, it's starting to sound a bit like a broken record here. And trust me, I wish I could stop talking about this, but I think it's going to continue. So let's all have fingers crossed for another 3 weeks of, you know, some sort of partial lockdown so we can just go back to doing the Zoom quizzes again. we can do a repeat of that quiz we did.
Yeah. Also, on this at this point and on this note, I would like to give a shout out to...
Zoom.
Not to Zoom, but to Karen Laurie, who has been listening to us since episode one and bravely from the UK watched the entire thing on the YouTube stream. I mean,
yeah, equally.
She said she watched it all and then messaged me later and said, well, I looked up whenever it sounded like there was some action, massive inverted commas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thanks for at least attempting to sit through possibly one of the worst games of football you'll ever see.
Yeah, there was a few people that did this and I felt really bad for them. So also shout out to Derek in Glasgow, who also ended up watching the whole thing because he finished work early and nothing to do. Anything would have been better than that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure.
I bet you wish you were still working there, mate.
Not a classic, I believe, was the cry. But Aye, well, so thanks for at least trying the the Zbrojovka. Normal service may be resumed in a few seasons' time.
Yeah. Anyway, shall we move on from this? We've got beer of the podcast to drink, have we not?
Would you like me to get the beers?
I very much would. Let's do that. Beer. Oh, it's beer of the podcast. So, good intro there.
Every time I forget.
Every time. Pause. That was our second take of that intro.
Second take. That took takes.
Yeah.
Christ.
It's technically a take. Anyway, what have you got for us there, Sam?
Well, I was going to buy that beer that we've been drinking.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was quite nice. And then I saw in the corner of my eye this bottle, and I only bought it initially because I thought it was Grace Jones on the label.
Okay.
It's not Grace Jones. It's not even black. But it is... Take a look.
It's very attractive.
Yes.
I say it, I mean both label and woman thereon.
It is a Rohozets cherry beer.
It just says cherry beer. Yeah.
Vishnjove pivo.
Indeed, cherry beer.
So. This was not expensive. I want to.
Right.
So this could be a reasonable find if it's any good. I think this costs around about 20 crowns a bottle.
Oh, wow.
Compared with the beer that we've just been sampling before this, which I believe was about 120 crowns for 750ml.
Yeah.
So, night and day.
Was this from
it was.
Top of Cheska Bottle Shop?
It was, yes.
Okay,
from Bottle Shop.
Enough.
They're usually from Bottle Shop when it's me, because I'm having to run from work to the podcast, but occasionally I find something else.
It's a really nice label. It's very cool.
It's quite nice,
yeah.
Isn't it? So,
yeah. It does smell very cherry, I've got to say.
I do. Like, I have a funny feeling that this is going to be, like, because it's this price as well, it's going to be a beer with additive. It's not going to be like a Belgian fruit beer. Or
like made with
like
cherry,
that.
Yeah. It's going to be a regular beer with cherry flavouring.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
well, let's try it, see what it's like.
I should also point out for the listener, before I sample this, I'm not actually a big fan of cherries at all, so this could be fun.
That's really nice. Sweet to start, bit of sharpness afterwards.
That's just cherry coke.
Yeah.
Tastes like a cherry coke.
That's fine. I'm down with that. Again, I'm not a fan of cherries either, as a fruit. But mainly because I find them very annoying to eat.
Yeah.
They're all stone and no fruit. And
so,
stalk.
Next time when you want that, authentic taste, you gotta go to the shop at the top of the street. You gotta buy some beer and it tastes just like cherry cola.
P-I-V-O cola.
That's actually okay. 20 crowns or so.
Yeah. More than happy with that. That's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite
Thank
nice.
You, not Grace Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to talk more about this or do you want a final quiz?
Can I just say that, it's a shame that... Grace Jones isn't on the label because then we could all be a slave to the Vichen.
Let's do a quiz, shall we? So we've got our third quiz, each of this quiz-heavy episode. I have got five nicknames of football clubs for you. Are they real or are they not? Real nicknames of clubs.
Fantastic.
Right. Number one, the Sulphurites.
The Sulphurites is definitely a nickname of, I believe, an English team.
That's right, yeah.
I can't remember who exactly. I think they're like maybe like National League or something like that.
No, they are the newest addition to the professional
yes,
league.
Yes, that's it. They're Harrogate Town, aren't they?
Harrogate Town, very good. Yes, well done. Number two...
Just as a side note, I like "ites" as a nickname. It's like the Spireites.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of a cool one as well.
Number two, the Super Farmers.
Yes, this is the, I believe this is the nickname of De Graafschap in the Netherlands.
The nickname of De Graafschap. Yeah. Bloody hell. Well done. All right.
Remember, I stay up routinely to 4 o'clock in the morning on Wikipedia.
All right. Number three, the phobia.
You've made that one up.
I have not made that one up.
Excellent work.
That is the nickname of Hearts of Oak.
Hearts of Oak from Ghana.
Of the Ghanaian top league, yes.
Phobia, really?
Yeah, the phobia.
Ted Leo in the Pharmacist's album as well, Hearts of Oak.
Good. I was going to add, actually, a shout out on that fantastic, ridiculous team name from that country. The Cape Coast Abusa Mysterious Dwarves. Yeah,
we've talked about the dwarves before, yeah, I believe.
The fantastic. Mysterious Dwarves. Still one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, mysterious
dwarves. All right, number four, the boys from the swamp.
The boys from the swamp.
Yes.
You've got to have made one of them up, so I will say that is the one you've made up.
I have made that one up, yes. Okay. Yeah. And number five, Teenage Ham Club.
Teenage Ham Club.
Yes.
That's almost so ridiculous it could be a real one. You've made it up.
They play at the Lickin' Salami Stadium. No. I did make it up. I'm sorry.
That's awesome.
Teenage Ham Club is
Teenage
made up.
Teenage Ham Club.
Yes.
Hamilton Ackies.
You were close though, weren't you? You were thinking.
These games play tricks on you, don't you? Very good. Would you like to play Visochina Yihlava player or cross-country skier?
Would I? Yes.
I feel that most of these will just be a punt, but yes, okay. So
it will absolutely be mostly a guess.
Some of them are Visochina Yihlava players and some of them are actual cross-country skiers.
And most of them, probably both.
Yes. All right, number one, Karol Proezny.
Skier.
19-year-old centre-back.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah. Good start. All right, Martin Kokal.
Footballer.
Won bronze in the 4x10km relay at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver.
It's going well.
Mm-hmm. All right, Robert Stefanik.
Footballer.
Centre-back. Good, well done, yeah. Slovak. Uh-huh. Milan Sperl.
Skier.
Team Sprint World Championship. Good. 2007, yeah. Bronze medal. And finally,
Stanislav Klobasa, come on.
Adela Barakova.
Right. It's a girl, so I'm going to say she plays for Jihlava's women's team.
Very well done. She's a striker for Visochina Jihlava Zenit. So
good.
Well,
yes.
Done there.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. A slightly unusual, but very good fun, apart from the football episode of Spoilcast. Yes, follow us on all the social medias. Tell your friends. You know, if we go by the thing there, you know, if you tell two people, then they tell two people, then they tell two people, and so on, and so on, and so on, we might build up a bit of a... even bigger of a following than the few hundred people we have. So that'd be nice.
Yeah, this is like sort of like COVID in reverse, isn't it? It's about getting that R number up.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, please lick a friend and get them quarantined.
And then a salami.
And then a salami. Everybody stay safe. The boys are back in town COVID-wise, it seems. So we're going to have to endure a few more weeks, at least here in the Czech Republic, and also from a lot of places outside of the country that we have people listening in. So,
yeah, so as we play out, as Sam says, stay safe. Keep in touch. We're always here for your messages and tweets and etc.
Except for the times I can't be bothered reading them. But other times,
yeah,
yes.
We're going to leave you with a bit of California love.
And just very quickly before we go, if there is something that you would like to hear more of on Zbrovcast, perhaps you like the quizzes, perhaps you wanted some more of the older specials that we were talking about, previous tournaments and club football and so on, please let us know in the channels because we'd be happy to bring those back in case that we have no football over the next coming weeks and months.
Yes, that is not one for the email. Genuinely get in touch with us if you'd like to hear more of that. So, yeah, as I said, we're going to play you out with some California Love.
Bye.
Up to no good. Even Hollywood trying to get a piece.